This psalm is almost an exact copy of 2 Samuel chapter 22. You'll see the entire psalm in 2 Samuel 22. There are a couple of minor changes, and we'll come across one of those. It's a royal psalm. That is, it's one of the psalms which is about celebrating God's victory for his messianic anointed king in order to rescue us. God rescues a king. So it was for our sake, brothers and sisters, that Saul was killed in battle by the Philistines, and also David's best friend, Jonathan, the son of Saul, was taken as well, so that David would become king and replace Saul. And that's very much the focus we see in verse 50, the closing verse. Great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, that is his Messiah, to David and his offspring forever. Now, when we see verse 50 and we see that the focus is on celebrating God's rescuing plan through David and his descendants, we think, well, wow, who would have known that David's ultimate descendant would be God himself, God the Son, sent to be our king forever by suffering and dying to rescue us. And therefore we are guaranteed, because Christ has had the victory over Satan, we are guaranteed to have victory over Satan. And God says in Romans 16, we will crush Satan under our feet through Christ and rescue us even from death. And speaking of Jesus, when you look at verses such as 23 and 24 about victory of the Messianic King, you say, well, this makes sense, verses 23 and 24. I was blameless before him. I kept myself from my guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. Well, David kept himself from guilt in this instance, but one asks, how could David say he's been rewarded for his righteousness? How could David say, God has treated me in accordance with the clean hands that I've got? When you read 2 Samuel, and don't forget this psalm is in 2 Samuel chapter 22, you read through David's life in 2 Samuel, and you don't see very clean hands at all. We think particularly of his sin with Bathsheba, taking another man's wife, and then trying to hide evidence of his guilt in her pregnancy by having her husband killed in battle. Where are the clean hands? Well, then we remember, don't we, another psalm, Psalm 51, where David cries out to God and he says, I was conceived as a sinner in the womb. From the womb I was full of sin. And then he spends at least five verses of that psalm repeatedly crying out to God, wash me, cleanse me, blot out my sin, create in me a clean heart, O God, so that I can serve you. And we read that throughout 2 Samuel, when David was in danger from Saul and other enemies, David did entrust himself to God's promises, and he did things God's way. We think of the fact that when he was a fugitive on the run from Saul, on at least two occasions, he could have killed Saul himself and saved himself a lot of worry and a lot of danger. We remember once when Saul was in a cave going to the toilet and David was behind him and could have killed him, but he didn't. And then Saul was in a tent asleep in a camp, and David crept up to him while he was asleep And David's mates are saying to him, here's your opportunity. God's given him into your hand. Kill him. And then David says, no, he is God's to take. I will not take the throne. I'll wait for God to give it to me. So David was cleansed from his sin. God forgave his sin and atoned for his sin, according to Psalm 51. And then also we know that David did live by faith and do things in accordance with God's word. Though our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, perfectly carries out God's will as our King. In verse 1, we read David saying these words, I love you, O Lord, my strength. He expresses love after having been delivered from suffering. And brothers and sisters, it's my hope this morning that we'll all be refreshed again to look back on our problems and our sufferings and see God's deliverance and help in our lives and love him all the more. That, in other words, the struggles and the difficulties in our lives might reveal more to love about God in our lives. Because you see, this is David's response, that he loves God because he sees what God has brought him through safely. We see in the psalm that when David cries out under oppression from Saul and other enemies, it's like a little child crying out in the dark for a parent. And we see God's response. Now, when we see God's response, it's not passive indifference. It's almost like, if you've seen in those documentaries, you see a mother grizzly bear hears the cry of one of her cubs, and you see that grizzly bear just burst out of the bushes in anger, rushing to protect her little one. And that's how David pictures God as being ferocious and aggressive in his love for David. For instance, verses 6 and then 8 to 10. Verse 6, we read, in my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Verse 8, smoke went up from his nostrils, devouring fire from his mouth, glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. David could cope with moments of danger and darkness in his life because the light of God's promises shone all the brighter. Brothers and sisters, know this. God is not indifferent to the suffering you go through that he has sent into your life. He will not cause us to suffer one millimeter more than what's necessary for us to learn what it means to find his protection, to cry out to him and find that he is there. All of our sufferings and difficulties are that we might learn to stop leaning on our own strength and lean more and more on Christ. We think of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. The Apostle Paul said, look, to keep me humble, God sent a message of suffering delivered by Satan himself. How frustrating it must be that Satan serves God's purposes. Satan sought to ruin Paul's missionary life through that thorn in the flesh, that severe illness, painful experience in his life. But what did he learn through that? He cried out to have it taken away, and Christ answered and said, my strength, my grace is made greater through your weakness. Paul experienced more of the grace of God through times of darkness. And for us, the light of the revelation of God's aggressive concern for us has shone even more brightly than what David experienced in the psalm. David pictures God as riding on a cherub down from heaven to rescue him. But we can say, no, God himself came in the flesh to be one of us, to rescue us through his own suffering. And therefore David says, a light was revealed in the darkness of my life, and God lit up that light. Verse 28, for it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. Now there's, you remember I mentioned earlier that 2 Samuel 22 has a couple of little differences to Psalm 18. And here's one of them. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, David says, the Lord is my lamp. The Lord is my lamp. But here in verse 28 we have the Lord lights my lamp. The Lord is my lamp, but also the Lord lights my lamp. He provides the light. In both circumstances, he provides the light. But what is David's lamp that God lights up? What is your lamp that God lights? In 2 Samuel chapter 21, the chapter before this psalm is recorded in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 21, David's soldiers want to protect him. They're saying, look, we don't want you to go to the front line of the battle because you are the lamp of Israel. You are the instrument of God to give us hope. We look to you for God to give us hope. You are the hope, the light of Israel, and we want you to be protected. Now the lamp of our lives is the hope and direction that God provides in the darkness of light of life. And we can be a light to others. In John chapter 7, Jesus says, anyone thirsty, come to me. I have the living waters to provide to you. But when you drink from me, you become a source of living water. You become a source of the refreshing work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. But he also says, we are the light, and we're to shine toward others in the darkness of their lives. And so when you speak to a fellow believer, when they're dying, or when they're in the fits of depression, you bring forth light. You bring forth hope through the word of God. When you lead an unbeliever to faith in Christ, you are a lamp that God uses. And it is only God that can light the lamp. It is only God who can provide the light that shines through us. The Lord provides and he lights that light of hope in our lives and for others. And this gives us strength to overcome in the darkness. Verse 29, for by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. The Apostle Paul found this strength of leaping over terrible times of darkness. 2 Corinthians 11 verses 23 onwards. How on earth did the Apostle Paul as a missionary endure all these things? He says he was beaten many times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers amongst false brethren. I have been in labour and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there's also the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. How did he cope through all of those dark experiences? And the answer is, he could see. He could see through, he could see hope and grace provided in Christ. He could see the end game as well. In 1 Corinthians 15, where there's a dispute about whether Jesus really rose from the dead physically or not. And Paul says, man alive, do you think I wrestled with wild dogs in Ephesus if Christ wasn't raised from the dead? You've got to be kidding. Paul was realistic and he could see if Christ has risen from the dead, all this other stuff in life is only temporal. For I shall be raised from the dead. The guy that led me to Christ once said to me when he was in danger at work, he said, well, the worst thing that can happen to me is I get killed and even then I win. So you see, brothers and sisters, in the midst of darkness, there is this light that gives us hope to carry on. I'll tell you of another man who's been used mightily for God's church, even to this present day. This man also was a fugitive, like David. He was thrown out of a town in which he was called to preach. And when he came back to that same town to a high position, he voluntarily remained almost penniless to the day he died. And for the last 20 years of his life, he barely had a day without severe headaches. And with no modern medicines, he suffered from asthma, gout, severe gallstones and kidney stones, which he tried to shake by riding horses when his painful hemorrhoids allowed. In his final years, he had malaria, and he often coughed up blood from tuberculosis. He lost his beloved wife, whom he called the best companion of my life, 12 years before his own death, and all the children born to her died in infancy. At times, in the town he lived, he was mocked and spat upon. Children walked behind him and yelled out to their dogs using his name. Through all his days, his body racked in agony, he arose early and went about preaching and teaching and writing. His name was John Calvin. You see, no matter how dark it got, he could see. Because the darker it got, the more brightly, the more attractive and wonderful was the grace of God that was promised to him and given. In Psalm 18, it sounds very much like David had immediate victories. You know, he's pursued by Paul, bang, he cries out, God comes down to the rescue, all done in 24 hours. We know that's not true. It was for years that David was on the run. And then there were other enemies, such as the Philistines, to conquer. Psalm 22 reflects David's thankfulness of being brought through years of struggle. For years he'd been promised the kingdom, and yet he didn't take Saul's life. Why? Because in the darkness he could see. David could trust God because the lamp of hope God had given him was there. He could see that God's dealings and God's word and God's promise are faultless and reliable. Verse 30, our final verse in the passage that we're looking at. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He's a shield for all those who take refuge in him. In our darkest times, I mean, maybe you're going through a dark time now. Let us discover and continue to see the light of our lamps of hope and direction lit up by God's word and God's spirit. And remember this, that Jesus' darkest moment on the cross was God's executing God's greatest victory in all of history, in all of eternity. And it was achieved in the darkest moment when Satan would have thought he had the victory. And because of Christ, we see how much God loves us. 1 Peter 5 verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Can you say, Lord, I'd rather have a terminal illness or a financial crisis or whatever it may be that I might dread, I'd rather have that in life and have your light than grapple around healthy and wealthy and reasonably happy in the darkness. Give me suffering if it means growth in the knowledge of your grace and your strength by the Spirit. There are dark moments in our lives, our health, our finances, our emotional life, our relationships, but all of those dark moments aren't random. They're not meaningless. God has designed those situations for us to find the strength that he provides, that shines forth then through our lives. And as the events in 2 Samuel displayed what God is like more fully through David's experiences, so in our darkness we can see the light of God. How can you appreciate the light of a lamp out in the sunlight? It's only in darkness that you see how bright the lamp that God provides for us can shine. In the agony and darkness of Calvin's life, he experienced the words of verse 28, "For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness." And I close with a comment that Calvin gives on that verse. "Let it not be distressing to us to walk through darkness, provided God is pleased to perform to us the office of a lamp." Shall we pray? Our God, we do thank you for times where there's comparatively little problem in our lives. These are times to look back and give you thanks and see your kindness toward us. We don't deserve easy lives, but so often you do provide ease and comfort. We thank you for that, Lord. And if we're going through a period such as that now, we give you praise and thanks. But also, Lord, we thank you that through our times of suffering and darkness, and at this moment some of us may even be going through a dark time, we thank you that, Lord, you have sent this for our good, that Satan may be defeated and that we might crush him even further under our feet by turning to you rather than away from you in our times of darkness and finding the light that you provide and the grace that we need to be sustained. Thank you, Lord, that through difficult times as well as easy times, we see your love and your care, your protection and provision. In Jesus' name, amen.